From the heart of the Forest City, Blackburn Media presents the Craig Needles Podcast, looking at the biggest stories in London and around the world and how they impact you. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is another brand new episode of the Craig Needles Podcast. We get closer to the end of 2021, perhaps thankfully, but we're not ending the year in a super great way as COVID case counts continue to climb because of the Omicron variant, people becoming more concerned. And you may have seen a story on LondonNewsToday.ca. Miranda Chant wrote it up. It was City of London tightens rules for unvaccinated workers. So what does that mean for City of London employees? Let's ask one of the union representatives for City of London employees about that. Steve Holland, the president of QP Local 101, joins us here on the Craig Needles Podcast for the first time. Steve, we've talked before in different formats, but nice to have you on the podcast for the first time. I appreciate you giving us a few minutes.
Absolutely. It's awesome to be here. It's nice to have another conversation with you in a more formalized way again. So awesome to have you back.
Yeah, I'm feeling glad to be back, I can assure you. Let's begin with what was said about the policy. Here's the quote that Lynn Livingston, the city manager, gave us. We are seeing COVID-19, and specifically the Omicron variant, spread rapidly, both locally and across the province. Because of this, we have reviewed our policies and procedures, and I have consulted directly with the acting chief medical officer of health. These additional measures are being put in place to help limit the spread and protect our employees and the community as we face this evolving phase of the pandemic. That essentially means there's going to be twice a week testing for those who are not vaccinated. Steve, from the perspective of QP Local 101, how are you feeling about that? I'm sure there might be some disagreement even within the union ranks about this.
Yeah. So far, to be honest, our members have been pretty quiet on this. You know, are there some that, you know, don't necessarily agree with the things that are happening? For sure. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, again, I haven't had a lot of conversation with members regarding this. No one's come, like, not really anyone's come to us, but there has been a few people that have said, I'm apprehensive of working with people that may not have been, you know, vaccinated. So I can appreciate that. And yes, does it create a divide? Absolutely. We just have to try to work together as best as we can. You know, these are difficult times for everybody. You know, for me, Craig, we just have to work together, and that means everybody across the board. It's a challenging time, and if we can just try to be kind to each other and realize that, you know, everybody's circumstance is different, we go from there. And of course, as you know, as a union representative, I have to represent everybody, you know, to all different angles, whether you're fully vaccinated, partially vaccinated, not vaccinated at all. I have to represent everybody and support them as best as we can because they're part of our union.
Yeah, of course. And I understand that. And that's part of the job. That's definitely part of the job. I want to ask you about the way that the city has communicated with you. You mentioned working together. Has the city worked with you? Have they reached out to you and members of QP Local 101 to sort of figure out what the best way to approach this is? Or is the communication left something to be desired that way from your perspective?
Actually, Lynn's been really good about communicating with us. She's reached out to us, told us what's happening. Do we have necessarily a lot of input as to exactly how this process is going to work? Probably, you know, not as much as I would like. We always would like more, but they are including us in the conversations and telling us what's happening and kind of getting us the information before it happens. So that's been really appreciative. I have to give Lynn a lot of credit for her efforts to communicate to the unions.
Well, I'm glad that that's happening because, like you said, this is a time where there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of, hey, what's going to happen next? A lot of uncertainty, of course. So the more that we can work together and sort of communicate through this, doesn't mean we're going to agree all the time, but the more we can communicate through this, I think the better off we're all going to be.
Absolutely. And you're right. We're not going to always agree. There's going to be differences of opinion. You know, we are always going to be trying to put our members first, the community first. But that doesn't necessarily always fall in line with what the employer is doing or vice versa. So, you know, you're right. It's challenging, but if we can continue to work together on this, I think that we all will benefit from it, or at least I hope we all will. you know, we all want the same thing. We want our city to be, you know, free from, you know, health concerns like this. We want to make sure that we continue to provide the best possible service. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we all have the same goal. It's just how we get there.
You may not have the breakdown in front of you, Steve. You may know it off the top of your head. You may not. But generally, can you tell me how many of the QP Local 101 workers at City Hall are working from home right now, and how many are going into the office or have to be in certain sites around the city? Do you have a general breakdown there?
I don't have a general breakdown, Craig, to be honest. I know that there's, you know, a lot of, like, there's some areas that they need to be there, like, you know, our finance and payroll. Mm-hmm. They obviously have to be working, you know, in the office. But our, like, our Ontario Works, they have like a, I don't want to say skeleton staff, but pretty close. They have so many people that are in the office working to make sure that we can do some things. And then a lot of people are working from home. I know our ITS department, the majority of them are working from home. So there are not, like, it's pretty good that way. I think that people are not having to be in the same workplace necessarily. So I think overall we're in a good place.
Yeah, and I hope that we are, and we continue to do as best as we can. It's a pandemic, like I said. It's evolving. It's changing rapidly, and it's not really a whole lot of fun. The testing twice a week is something that's in place for employees who are not vaccinated. There's been talk about potential, you know, suspensions or being without pay for employees who are not vaccinated. I don't know if the city's brought that to you, but there's been talk about that, and it's happened in other unionized workplaces. Is that something that was discussed in the City of London, and what would your reaction to such things be if they said, okay, non-vaccinated employees are now suspended?
So, yeah, yes, it's been discussed as that's a possible outcome, depending upon what the member chooses, which direction they choose to go in, whether they choose to comply, whether they choose to do the testing, you know, what their circumstances may be. Of course, if that happens, of course, Craig, I'm going to have to file a grievance to support those members. I'm going to have to look into it to determine, you know, better details as to what the circumstances are. But as always, you know, they're a member of our local, and we have to support them as well. I don't know their details. To be honest, Craig, I don't really know very many that are in this situation. Now, not everybody has come out and said, hey, Steve, I've got an attestation about this or that. To be honest, there's very few that have come forward to us in regards to that. So I don't know what the number breakdown is of that 129 people. So I don't know how much this really impacts our local or not. I haven't been privy to that information as of yet, so I'm waiting to see where that comes from.
Yeah, and of course there's another conversation, whereas if it's someone who is working from home and therefore not at City Hall and not sort of interacting with the public, I think that's a different conversation as to what that worker's status does or does not need to be. So there's a lot of variables here is the key point.
Absolutely, because they could work from home, they could be reassigned. You know, it really depends on what work they're doing and whether that work is needed to be done in the office or not. And if it's needed to be done in the office, then obviously we have to look at what that means to them in the long run. So you're right, there's a lot of variables, and I'm not going to know until probably there's a problem, and then we'll be involved, and then we'll have to figure out next steps.
Yeah, and like you said, there's all sorts of things that could or could not happen there. I want to ask you about the general work environment there right now. And when people hear us talk about QP Local 101 in London, for most of us, the thought goes back to, hey, it was not that long ago that there was a significant strike involving QP Local 101 that lasted, you know, most of a summer. What is the work atmosphere like there now? Because a lot of the faces on the other side have changed from the perspective of council, mayor, city manager. We've seen a lot of things that are different now than they were back when that strike happened. So what is the relationship like right now, I guess, is the question I have for you, Steve.
Yeah. Overall, I think it's obviously way better than when we were, you know, involved in the strike and even shortly after the strike. Yes, a lot of the players have changed. You know, I've come and gone and back again kind of thing. And I think that overall, we're good. You know, are there still issues? Absolutely. We're, you know, again, kind of like you said, we aren't always going to agree. Martin was the previous city manager and he was amazing. And he ultimately helped to support bringing Lynn in. So I'm going to trust in her and believe that she is going to work well towards us and help us move forward in a really positive way. So I'm trying to be positive for our members. You know, obviously if there's something happens that is questionable, then we will have to act in accordance with our collective agreement and determine our next steps. But overall, I think that members realize that, you know, there's hard work happening on behalf of the city and they're doing their very best to support everybody. And it's challenging. It's very challenging to try to meet everybody's wants, needs, and appease people. And you can't please everybody, unfortunately.
No, you certainly can't. And before I let you go, Steve, I'm going to ask you to look in your crystal ball here. You mentioned collective agreements. And maybe colleagues of yours in unions and other places have talked to you about this or you've heard about this, but do you think we might see a situation where collective agreements include, you know, getting public health vaccinations or public health recommended vaccinations for workers in the future so we don't have as much sort of debate and discussion as we've had surrounding vaccination with this? I know that Ontario Nurses Association, for example, has flu shot in their collective agreements, things along those lines. Is that something that you think may be in the future here? Is that something you think unions would be opposed to in general, or is it too soon to tell?
I think that most likely we'll probably see something come out about this. I think that it would be unwise for both sides not to look at some sort of language regarding the pandemic or health issues. I think that it would be wise to consider it. I think that everybody needs to be well supported. You know, I've always believed in choice. I don't like to force any decisions on people. It, you know, it doesn't leave necessarily a great taste in some people. So I, you know, it's a tough one to try to determine and where do we go from there. So yes, do I think that there probably will be some efforts to try to do something? Yes.
Yeah, I would suspect as much as well. Steve, thanks so much for the time and getting us updated on sort of where we're at on this story. I really appreciate it. Anything else you want to add about, you know, taking those tests twice a week or any concerns about that or anything else going on at the City of London before we wrap up here?
Nothing as of this point in time, Craig. I think that, you know, we're kind of playing it, you know, by ear because I don't know what I don't know. So until I get to hear more and kind of some of the details, you know, because as always, you know, the devil is in the details and we need to make sure that we look at that fully and determine where we go and how we best support our members.
Sounds good to me. Steve, thank you very much for doing this and being a guest for the first time here on the Craig Neils podcast. Glad to have you.
It's awesome. I really enjoyed it, Craig. I always enjoy spending time with you and talking about politics and as well the City of London culture.
That's Steve Holland, the president of QP Local 101 here on the Craig Neils podcast. We thank Steve for joining us, and I just want to take a minute to talk about where we're at pandemic-wise. And we've heard a lot of stuff about rising case counts and is this going to be effective, the vaccine, if you have two shots as opposed to three. There's a lot of things that are up in the air right now. I think there are some positive signs that Omicron is not going to be as severe as Delta, which is good. In fact, that's great. That's really good news. But, and this is the important thing, we're not exactly sure about that yet. So I'm not going to sit here and go on this podcast and tell you, hey, don't see family members at Christmas, because I just don't think that is a realistic thing to ask from people two Christmases in a row. I don't think that's a fair ask or a fair request. But try to keep your gatherings small, please, if you have to have them. Try to not do lengthy travel if you don't have to do it. Those are the requests that I would have. I would also request that maybe you do a rapid test before or after a gathering, whatever it happens to be, preferably before. I know they're hard to come by. Your place of business may have some. You'll be able to order some online. Maybe you got some from your kid's school. I don't know. But maybe think about that. Consider that possibility. And the other thing that I will say going into this, and I'm going to put this on Twitter at some point before Christmas, but I'm going to say this. You may, at some point during this holiday season, see a picture of a gathering that a friend has had with family members or whoever it is. And maybe you're going to count up the people in the photo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And wait a minute. Doesn't that mean someone took the photo? Isn't that 11? And you know what it might be. Maybe it will be number 11. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to suggest this to you. Don't say anything. I'm not talking about blowing the whistle to the public health authorities, wherever. They truly will not care. But I mean, don't go into the comment section and say, hey, there are too many people at your gathering. You have no idea what the situations are of the people at that gathering. You have no idea whether everyone's triple vaccinated. You have no idea whether everyone's done a rapid test. Maybe they did a PCR test. They're able to get a PCR test for everyone that went to that gathering. They all came back negative, hadn't seen anybody since. You don't know that. Now, if you see a gathering with 50 people, you might say to yourself, all right, that's a little excessive. But if it's 11, do you really need to comment? Do you really need to say anything? I would hope that you wouldn't. Just say, hey, you know what? I hope that person's having an okay time. I hope they're having fun. And move along. Because it doesn't need to be something that turns into an argument or into a brawl. Like I said, you don't know what the circumstances are. So just everybody relax. Everybody just take a second and think to yourself, do I need to make what somebody else is doing a big deal for me? Yes, we do not want to overwhelm our hospitals. I understand that. Right now, hospital numbers look pretty good. I would hope there'd be zero COVID patients in the ICU. I know that's not the case. But we have not seen it rise the same way it has during other times in the pandemic. And as Alex Summers said at his media briefing earlier this week, this could be a situation where, well, not could be, it is a situation where it appears that being double vaccinated does give you a pretty good shot against Omicron. Triple vaccinated is better. But double vaccinated gives you a pretty good shot. You're not vaccinated, well, that's a troublesome situation. That's not what you want. But getting back to original point, I don't think you need to be angry at someone or getting into their replies or DMs or comments about your gathering size is too large. Just let people be. That's my advice to folks this Christmas. And if you're going to have a hard time with that, I suggest you don't scroll Instagram or Facebook. Just a piece of advice. If you think that seeing a picture of 10 people, well, 10's legal. If you think seeing a picture of 11 people is going to bug you that much, maybe just don't scroll. Because here's what I will say about the 11. Let's just say there is a family of four and a family of five. And two of the adults are brother and sister, so they want to see each other for Christmas. So, of course, they're bringing the kids, bringing their spouse. Great. This, to be clear, does not apply to me. I've got two kids, but none of my siblings have kids, to be clear. But let's just say that's something that happens. There's nine. And all of a sudden, one of the kids sets a grandparent and says, hey, can I come over to your place for Christmas? We didn't really have anywhere else to go this year. This gathering got canceled, or we were going to drive over here to do this and see these people, but we don't want to travel. We were going to go someplace south, but do you mind if I come over to your place for Christmas? I just don't want to be by myself, or don't want to be just the two of us. Are they supposed to say no? Are they supposed to tell one of the kids to get lost? I don't think so. I don't think that's fair. I think instead, It could be, yeah, you know what, Grandma and Grandpa, you can come too. I hope you have a good time. Maybe it's not Grandma and Grandpa. Maybe there's a gathering of 10. You know, three siblings, and they each have, you know, two kids. Plus spouses, whatever. Doesn't matter. And Grandma is by herself, and Grandma wants to come join them. And that makes 11. Is that something that we want to be upset about or mad about? Maybe Grandma's triple vaccinated. Maybe Grandma feels as though whatever risk she may be incurring, again, perhaps Grandma's triple vaccinated, is not worth being by herself for Christmas. Maybe she thinks it's worth it to just take a chance, even if it's a limited chance with rapid tests and all that stuff. Maybe that's how Grandma feels. Grandma lives by herself. Are you going to argue about that? Should you? No. So don't get into people's mentions calling them selfish. Don't go on their Facebook page and say they're a big jerk because they let Grandma come to their Christmas party and that was 11 people instead of 10. Just let it go. Take a pass on that particular comment. That would be my advice to you. As for this particular podcast, I think we might do one more episode before the new year. I'm not exactly sure what the schedule is going to be yet. We're sort of trying to work things out and see who's available, all the stuff. But we may do one more episode before the new year. If we do not, have a happy and safe Christmas. Have a happy and safe holiday season. Have a happy and safe new year. And we'll talk to you in 2022. I think we'll do one more, but just in case, I wish you that. Thank you very much for listening to the Craig Needles podcast. We were pretty excited when we launched this thing, sort of in the latter portion of the year. It's going really well. The numbers are good. We're very, very happy. So please continue to listen and please continue to download, subscribe, whatever it is you're doing on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and of course, LondonNewsToday.ca. You can find us there as well. So thank you so much for listening to this edition of the podcast, and we'll talk to you in 2022, if not a little bit sooner.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of Blackburn Media.